When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This week on the Underdogs podcast, we've got an undefeated underdog. We've got a 10-1 underdog.
And an entire sport that's an underdog.
The cry goes up both far and near for underdog.
Underdog. Countdown going on right now. Morrow, up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
By George, the dream is alive.
Underdog.
And I guess there's only one thing left to do. Win the whole fucking thing.
Welcome back to the Underdogs. I'm Jordan Brenner, joined as always by my co-host, Peter Keating. Peter, how was your Thanksgiving?
Jordan, it was terrific. And I think the kind of this period in between Thanksgiving and the winter holidays can be characterized by only one phrase that, and it fits our show, which is DeVito magic.
Oh my God. Well, I was thinking it was almost more parlay magic because
The parlay we built
on the last show, well, it hit despite an unfortunate push in one of the legs. So it, as you recall, we had a David Montgomery anytime touchdown, got that. We had
we held our noses and picked a big Cowboys.
Oh,
win.
The Cowboys minus what was a 9.5. They covered that easily. And then all we needed was the under 43. In the Niners Seahawks game, and it hit it right on the number.
So we got a push
on the last leg. It paid out. It didn't pay out as big as it could have, but it was a nice little way to wrap up Thanksgiving.
Right.
A nice win for the underdogs.
Jordan, unlike some shows, we don't ask for a cut of our listeners' earnings. Not looking for donations. All we want are some, you like us, you follow us, you subscribe, you download. We don't want your cash. We just want your attention.
We want to sweat along with you. So I hope you picked that parlay on DraftKings. We had fun doing it. You know, hopefully we'll get to do things like that more and more going on. But this week, Peter, you've got a sport you want to tell us more about at the end of the show. We also have the return of the underdog contest. That's where we pick NFL underdogs against the spread. We took it off for last week for our special Thanksgiving episode, but that's back. But first, it's conference championship week. In college football, we've got 5 major conference championship games with distinct underdogs and tons of possibilities for who makes the college football playoff on the line. So, Peter, I thought it'd be fun if we ranked the 5 major conference championship games in terms of least likely to likeliest upset outright, not against the spread, and went through it that way. So, Peter and I talked, and I think we both agree. By far the least likely upset of the 5 is the Big Ten championship game between Michigan and Iowa, where the line is currently, what, 23.5, Peter?
It's 40, 60, I don't know. It's 23.5. Michigan is favored by Jordan. The line is so big, it is difficult to statistically analyze because so few games have fallen into this pattern. There may not ever have been. Like, I can't find one. It might be somewhere outside the realms of our databases. Don't think a conference championship underdog has ever been more than plus 20. And when you go looking for historical comps for these teams, like you'll find a stat that says like teams that scored, let's say fewer than 24 points a game are 7-24 against the spread in their season finales, you know, whether it's regular season or conference championships. Iowa's only scored 18 points a game. I mean, the key factor here is that great offenses are usually ahead of great defenses, especially this time of year. And Iowa just doesn't score any points, Jordan.
Right. Look, Iowa's defense is terrific, and they can probably hold Michigan down. But here's Iowa's point totals in their last few games. They scored 15 points in a win at Wisconsin, scored 10 in a loss versus Minnesota, 10 in a win against Northwestern, 22 versus Rutgers, 15 versus Illinois, and 13 at Nebraska. Look, neither of us thinks Iowa has any shot of winning this outright, so I don't want to waste any more time on this game. Do you?
No, it's just someone should have got to Michigan while they could have, because Iowa's not going to do it.
Right. Number two, least likely upset outright. I think we agree. Big 12 championship game, Oklahoma State playing Texas. What's the spread currently? About 14 and a half?
14 and a half points. Yeah. And I am now, I know you bet the game, so you're not as resentful as I am. But by beating BYU, Oklahoma State deprived us of the chance to see Oklahoma as the Big 12 champion. And Oklahoma, like I just said, big offense is usually ahead of the game at this time of year. Oklahoma scored 45 points a game and would have been my one of the picks I loved in any bowl game or anything going forward. But we don't get that. Instead, we got Oklahoma State, a team that was destroyed by South Alabama.
Wasn't it Central Florida?
Actually, it was both. they lost big to South Alabama, okay, and Central Florida.
So they lost to South Alabama and UCF. I think 45-3 to Central Florida, right?
It was
They're also ranked 27th in the Massey ratings, which is a sort of a next level analytics, you know, SRS type way of looking at teams. So they're just not that good, right, Peter?
That's right.
I mean, I watched them last week to see they're not that good.
I mean, I think we draw a line above the two matchups we just talked about. Yeah. Before we get to the matchups that could really present really interesting contrasts and possibilities.
All right. So we're writing off Oklahoma State as any chance of an outright win as well. Moving on to game number three. And this is where we start to see, okay, stuff can happen here. We're saying the third least likely upset right in the middle is Alabama against Georgia in the SEC championship game. Right now, Georgia is favored by 6 points.
So wait, we should stop there for a second, because since 2010, you may know this stat already, but Alabama has been favored in 190 out of 193 games it's played since 2010. It's the only fourth time it's an underdog at all. All four of those times have been to Georgia. They haven't played since the 2021 championship game.
Right. The interesting thing here is, first of all, as you point, it's fun to be able to analyze Alabama as an underdog. Yeah. In general, we're still not fully clear on the status of some injured Georgia players, particularly Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey. Look, the tendency is with these super programs, you just feel like, missing a guy, another five-star recruit steps in. But those are significant injuries and would impact the game a lot. We're recording on Wednesday, so we don't have full transparency into whether they'll play. But, you know, in your mind, is Alabama a live dog to win this outright? Because that would absolutely shake up what's going to happen in the college football playoff if they can.
Yes, I think they are. And I don't think it's just because I'm rooting for chaos. Mm-hmm. I think that spread's pretty big here compared to the strengths, the relative strengths of these teams. If you look at analytic systems we like, let's say simple rating systems, these 3.8 points difference between these teams. The action projection system sees 3.6 points difference. FPI at ESPN, if you trust it, sees 0.5 points difference between these teams. These teams are pretty close. And if it were any other week, maybe you'd be saying Alabama played well. How long could they be playing well in the second half of the season? Last week, they played pretty damn bad. Now, it's a big rivalry game. Anything can happen. But they didn't play well, and they won anyway. And the first thing Nick Saban said after the game was, we didn't play well, but we won anyway. And I was thinking as I was watching that, oh, these poor kids are in for a week of hellish practice. This is not going to be a letdown scenario in any case of the imagination.
I would hope there would
Alabama.
Be no letdown scenarios in a conference championship game with a playoff.
Well, I mean, letdown
so much as
an average chance of a slip up. You know what I mean? Well, things are going to be buttoned down, Jordan. Things are going to be buttoned down.
Look, I hear what you're saying. It looked like Alabama had some momentum going with wins against Tennessee and LSU, and they annihilated Kentucky. And then that performance against Auburn makes you wonder again, like, how good is this team really? The other thing, we just don't have any real sense of how they match up with Georgia particularly well, because they haven't played since the national championship game 2 years ago against them, which is interesting being in the same conference. So, you know, I tend to think Georgia will win this game, but I think you're right. There are things that can happen. Let's put it that way. That would tilt this toward the underdog.
Well, look, having said that Alabama has a good chance and these teams are close, let me just say this. We have one way of measuring them, one step removed from head-to-head. I'll just go over this quickly, but against ranked opponents, okay? Georgia rolled up 40 points per game, allowed only 16, averaged 498 yards on offense. That's 7.5 yards a play they've gotten the whole season. Against ranked opponents, Alabama played well, but they scored 31 points a game and gave up 23. 100 fewer yards, 395 yards of offense, 6.5 yards per play. So against really good opposition, Georgia was tremendous. So this is one of those games where I think Georgia's legitimate favorite. I just think the spread's too big. And we're not even talking about that. We're talking about, can Alabama win? Yes, but probably not, is what I think.
Yes. Okay. Well, so now we've tilted. We've gone to the other end of the spectrum. We're now onto the second most likely upset of the weekend. And we agree that that is Oregon over Washington. Sorry, Washington over Oregon. And I trip up on this because Washington, despite being ranked higher, undefeated, and having beaten Oregon.
And they beat them head to head. Right.
Is an underdog, and not just an underdog. They're a 9.5 point underdog. You don't have games like rematches like this where that happens, but everything we see sort of points to that Oregon is the rightful favorite. It's just a question of whether, of what upset odds you give Washington.
Yeah. So this is going to be my favorite game to watch of this entire season. You know that I was rooting for Oregon State this year because I picked them as the surprise contender from the conference and for the championship. And they lost to both of these, to each of these teams, both these teams playing really well. But I think it's a testament to the wisdom of the bettors.
Well, but are they playing really well? I wouldn't say Washington's playing well right now. They keep surviving these games where they're not scoring late. They're struggling in the second half of their offense. They barely got through against Oregon State. Last week, they had to kick a field goal with no time left to beat Washington State. I think that's why this line has rolled up.
Well, that's right. I mean, I meant to just say they have had good seasons over long stretches, but speaking about long stretches, there are long stretches where Washington just doesn't score despite their overall effectiveness. And now it's against maybe opposition like Utah, which is really tough, but Oregon just keeps rolling up the points and they're in a spectacular run. This is kind of if we had an ELO rating or a way to measure who's playing great right at this moment, a snapshot, I mean, Oregon would be the higher ranked team, right?
Well, and look, Oregon lost the first matchup, but it was on the road in Seattle. Oregon actually outgained them 541 to 415 that first matchup. I thought they outplayed them. And since then, Oregon has clearly been playing better football. But just to talk to you about how unusual a line like this is. Okay. So the Action Network has this excellent Bet Labs tool that we've talked about, and you should check it out if you haven't. So I looked at games where a team was undefeated, like Washington, and is an underdog of 9 or more, and then the game was played in December or January, okay? So late season, so not like a 2-0 team, right? Like a legitimate late season undefeated team. There have only been in their database 25 times when that's been the case, a team's that big an underdog, and the underdog is 8-17 against the spread. If you then limit it to the major conferences, there have only been 8 games where an undefeated team is as big an underdog as Washington is this late in the season. And they're 1-7 against the spread. So,
okay. But wait, now that's seems like a very telling stat, but right. I'm presuming that a bunch of these undefeated teams were actually overrated in the public imagination because of their record, like the Notre Dame team, right?
There were some games like Cincinnati against Alabama,
Cincinnati, a difference in class between their conferences too. This is a different kettle of fish. It seems
it's within the same conference. Okay. Yeah. Well, we agree that Washington certainly has a fighting chance in this game, but the best upset chance, we agree by far, Louisville against Florida State. I think the spread's only 2.5.
Right.
We can keep this short. Florida State, you know, they're a different team without Jordan Travis. They don't have a reliable quarterback now. They were the most suspect of the undefeated teams
right.
And they're playing good Louisville team.
I mean, right before he got hurt, I mean, they squeaked by in a miracle game against Miami, right? And then they beat Northern Alabama, right? Leading into the last week's game where they only rushed for a total of 90 yards without Jordan Travis being able to play. So they weren't quite as good as their record before. Now they're missing their key player. And I'll tell you something, we're not looking at the spread, but 75% of the total money is now on Louisville, and the spread has come down more than, I think, at least 2 points in just the past few days. So we're getting signals that, I mean, the strength here is on Louisville.
Real quick, before we move on to our NFL contest, there's a realistic scenario here where if Alabama, Oregon, and Louisville wins, let's not consider Michigan losing, but if they win...
No, but you don't need to. You just need the three that you mentioned.
Well, you've got Michigan, then... in is the number one undefeated team. And then you have 7 1-loss teams, Georgia, Alabama, Texas, Ohio State, Washington, Oregon, and Florida State. I think you got to assume in that case that Alabama gets in for sure. Oregon, I think, would get in for sure, beating an undefeated Washington. Who gets the last spot, Peter?
Well, I think they're going to want a way to get Ohio State back in there. I think Georgia will have just lost. Washington will have just lost, right? And so you're going to be left with Ohio State versus who? Texas?
I would like to make a case for Texas in that scenario.
I believe it should be Texas.
Especially
but I
having beaten Alabama.
But I think the committee will look for that rebound.
Well, and Ohio State's already ahead of them in the rankings right now. So it's certainly leads you to believe that the committee thinks they're better. Well, you know, and we'll see. And we'll see what happens when we get to our NFL picks next.
Underdog. Underdog.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Underdog. Underdog.
We're back with week 13 of the NFL Underdogs contest. If you're not familiar, we have to pick upsets. Basically, if a game has a 3-point spread or more, it's eligible. If not, we can't pick it. We have to pick an underdog. You cannot pick a favorite. If your underdog covers, you get 1 point. If they win outright, you get a bonus point. If they were a dog of 6 or more, you get 3 bonus points. We skipped last week for Thanksgiving, but the week before, our producer, Sarah McCrory, captain of Team Sarah, which includes all our guests, had a banner week getting the full 3 points with the Giants' outright victory against the Commanders as 9.5-point underdogs, and another outright victory for the Eagles over the Chiefs. That was only worth 2 points because it was a 3-point spread. So Sarah, with those 5 points, vaulted her team into a commanding lead at 25.5 points, and then Peter and I are tied at 18.5.
Which you call it a giant lead, not a commanding lead, exactly, given the results of her pick. Yeah,
exactly. But we need a comeback. Let's run through these quickly. This week's order: Peter is first, Sarah, then me, and then we reverse back. So Peter, start us off with the first pick of this draft.
With the first pick of this week's Underdogs, give me the New Orleans Saints +4 against the Detroit Lions. New Orleans had the worst, unbelievably unlucky loss last week, where they outgained the Falcons, but they suffered a pick six, a fumble in the red zone, a missed field goal, all kinds of things which shouldn't have converted into the points they actually gave up. Saints have been up and down this year, to say the least, but they've only given up 222 points. That's the 8th best rate in the league, surprisingly enough. Derek Carr has been wobbly in the red zone, but over time, red zone stats even out and match the stats everywhere else, unless there's some severe roster misconstruction, which I don't think is the case with the Saints. Jared Goff has not looked great. And until the Lions respond to their own troubles by just running the ball down the throat of their opponents, which I don't think they're ready to do yet, I'm not comfortable with their offense, and I'm comfortable with the Saints defense.
This is great because I love the Lions this week, and I'd love to make a side bet with you, especially with, like, I don't even know if New Orleans has any healthy wide receivers at this point, if Chris Olave doesn't get out of concussion protocol. So this is great. Let's make a side bet. I got the Lions -4.
We have 11 possible matchups. If you look at all of them and you take the simple rating system rating of the Giant, subtract the underdog and add the point spread, there's only one where it comes out even. Only one where bettors have bet enough to widen the spread to the point where the underdog should be favored over the Giant. This is the one.
All right. Well, Sarah, you're up because I, I'm psyched that Peter took the Saints. Go on.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to roll the tapes of you guys laughing at me last week for my picks. And they were right. So
well, you can't pick the Giants this week since they're on their bye. So
yeah,
unfortunately I can't.
Thrown you on your own.
Yeah.
But I can bring this back to the Giants. Don't worry. Unfortunately, this is not really best for my Giants right now, but I'm going with the Packers +6. Against the Chiefs. My reasoning, because the Packers just beat the Lions, they're playing at home at Lambeau, and of course Taylor Swift, it all comes back to Taylor Swift. She's done with her 2023 tour. She's done for the rest of the season. We think she's going to be at this game, and like I said, when I thought she was going to the Eagles game, they're due for a loss together as a couple. And also the Chiefs have kind of been struggling. They struggled against the Eagles, and then they struggled in the first half last week against the Raiders. So I think that I'm going to go with the Packers. I hope they don't win, but I think they can cover.
I like the way the Packers are playing. I like the way Jordan Love is playing. And we know that the spot to back Mahomes is a small favorite. Six is a bigger number. I'm with you on this pick. I've got back-to-back picks. Man, I like a bunch of these, but I'm going to go with my first pick. I'm actually going to take the Cardinals +5.5 at Pittsburgh. Hard to invest in the Cardinals defense. I get that, but there's a few things I like. First of all, a lot of action going toward the Cardinals, 71% of bets, 70% of money. So there's some signals there. The Action Network does a piece on their luck ratings every week, which I always find interesting. The Steelers have continued to be the luckiest team in the NFL. I don't know how they're 7-4. No analytics point to that. To that point, they have not won a game by more than 7 points all season, even though they are 7-4. They are this year's Minnesota Vikings. They play one score games. They win too many of them. I don't think I can lay this many. Will they beat the Cardinals? Probably, but I see it being by a field goal, not 5.5. So give me the Cardinals plus the points. The next one, I'm torn between two, but anytime you have a chance to take a 10-1 team at home as an underdog, I think you have to do it. So I'm going to take the Eagles +3 against the 49ers. I get all the reasons why the 49ers are favored. I think they have the highest upside of any team in football. They remain my Super Bowl pick in the NFC. But again, the Eagles, anytime you think they're dead, against the Chiefs, against the Bills, they seem to find a way. They're home. They'll be motivated in this spot. Again, I just think it's hard to say that you can't take points with a team that good. So give me the Eagles with my second pick. Sarah, you're back up.
I think the key question of this entire season is whether the Eagles or the Vikings of this season.
I like it. I like it.
I kind of hope not, but.
Okay. With my limited research, I'm going to take the Broncos +3.5.
Yes.
Why? Because the Broncos have won the last 4 or 5 in a row. And I believe the Texans lost last week. So that's my expert opinion.
They did lose last week. Yes. Well, look, I think Denver has found something. It's amazing how much their defense has improved, simplifying their scheme. And, you know, Russell Wilson, it's fun. Everyone loves to hate on Russell Wilson. He's playing good football. They found a running game with Javonte Williams. It's a tough pick because I think the Texans are going to be tough at home. CJ Stroud's playing great, but I get your reasoning here. And Peter?
That leaves me with the last pick. Every pick that I thought was remotely decent is gone. So
I've got one for you.
I know who I'm going to pick. So who would you pick?
The Commanders.
I will. I'm picking the Commanders, picking the longest shot on the board. The Commanders.
All right.
Look, 36% of the bets, but 83% of the money at the moment is on the Commanders. Where's the Miami running game? Also, Washington can't play worse than it's played recently. There's got to be some bounce back. Also, I think we're getting into a little bit of a shootout here. I think Miami's going to score, but I think Washington's going to not turn the ball over as egregiously as they have recently and score a few points themselves. Give me the Commanders against all my better judgment +9.
Yeah. And look, one last thing, home dogs of 7 or more this season are 4-1. So, you know, there's a trend this way. The question really is, have the Commanders given up and did those trades take their toll? I don't know the answer, but they can score points, and they can certainly score points on the Dolphins defense. You know where else you can score points, Peter? In volleyball. Tell us the latest thing that's percolating in that big brain of yours.
If you're flipping channels, if you're still a channel flipper and you're flipping through the ESPN family of networks and the ACC and SEC, you will find, I'm telling you, women's college volleyball. ESPN has put 2,500 matches of women's college volleyball this year. This is the latest in an interesting, successful experiment. Like, if you invest in a sport, can you develop fans, then get sponsor money, then get better play, and therefore make it worth it more to invest again? A virtuous cycle instead of a breaking down cycle, which all too many women's sports experience over the past forever. Now, I mean, they try that with softball. It worked. It's obviously working with college basketball. Now, next up, women's college volleyball. Selection Sunday, was Thanksgiving Sunday. The national championships will be December 14th through 17th. There have been huge upsets all throughout the game this year. It's really exciting to watch. Nebraska, the number one team in the country, lost in a game that got really big ratings, got increased ratings, increased attendance. How do you get upsets in volleyball? Well, if you listen to us, you know that a lot of times defensive obstruction against physical advantage is what we look for in college basketball and soccer. In volleyball, you get that by returning serves, right? If you can't ace the ball all the time, you can dig it out. Watch the liberos, the free players who roam around playing only defense, and watch Arkansas, seeded third in their region. They're going to get two home games. They beat the number one team in the country through great return serves. They play great defense. But all these games that you're going to see over the next few weeks, pretty competitive and pretty interesting. There you go, Jordan. My underdog pick, Arkansas for Women's College Volleyball Championship.
Well, anytime you get a chance to reference the libero on this show, yes, you've done well. So, Peter, I feel that we are free to say good luck to all the underdogs across the sports, and we will be with you next week. The Underdogs Podcast is a production of Meadowlark Media and the DraftKings Network. Our show is produced by Sarah McCrory. Our executive producer is Neely Lohman. Follow us on Twitter at PeterKeatingNJ and at Jordan Brenner. Tell a friend and subscribe to the Underdogs Podcast anywhere you like to listen, and be sure to tune in again next week.
I'm just a libero wandering through the time restrictions of these episodes.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.